I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song's Second Chance Theater, where we recover a topic but with a new guest. And this is a new guest. I'm your host, John, and with me today, well, she was on the
Riverdale 300th
episode, the Music of Riverdale episode. This is her first episode solo.
Yes!
It's Blanche Daly, everyone!
Hi! I'm Blanche. I'm a 23-year-old pet caretaker from Massachusetts, and media consumption is my favorite hobby.
Oh, we're still doing that. Okay.
Well, that's what I do for the Aficionados podcast. We all have our little intros, so
oh, okay.
I figured I would put mine in.
Great. Hi, I'm John. I'm 35, and this is the last episode of the Second Chance Theater for Second Chance Theater Month. So what better way to do that than with the 2017 Anna and the Apocalypse?
Yay!
The first chance was episode 86 with guest Andrew Gardiner. So Blanche.
Yes.
You gave me a few options, and this is the one that sticks out a little bit.
Oh, you mean in terms of like movie suggestions? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So why did you want to recover this topic?
Well, when I was in high school, about 5 years ago now, I think, my dad rented this movie for us to watch, in February, I think, and I immediately just became absolutely obsessed with it. It had everything I could hope for. There were zombies, it was Christmas, it was a musical, and there were gay people in it.
Yes.
So there was a good month in like 2019 where this movie was like literally all I could think about. I consumed everything I could about it. I would watch it like almost every day when I got home from school. I read the novelization, not the book. This was the movie based on a book, or the book based on the movie.
I read that too, and it was so hard not to sing the song.
I know,
but I think so. Whenever I read a physical book. Mm-hmm. I usually do audiobooks because, hi,
yeah,
monkey.
Same.
But whenever I read a physical book, I need music or something. And I believe I listened to the album.
Oh, that's so smart. I need like absolute silence when I'm reading like a physical book. So
No, because then my brain starts to wander and we go off into scary places.
That's so valid.
But are you a fan of zombie movies?
Oh, yes. I was actually a big Walking Dead fan. So I do have a couple notes later on about like the zombie logic, because I know that was something you guys talked about in the first episode where you did this.
So let's get into that then. Since
okay.
Because Andrew and I did talk about in the first chance how we didn't understand the zombie logic. And to me, other media that I've seen with zombies in it, I feel like it's a smell.
Yeah, exactly. I'm guessing. So, okay, as far as zombie logic goes, at some point in the bowling alley, I think somebody does say aim for the head, like in the movies.
Right.
But like, as far as like smell and like, can they recognize faces? I think that the particular zombies in this movie can recognize faces, because once they lift up the pool in that scene, they charge at them once they see one of their faces.
Oh, right. When Anna lifts up just to check.
Yeah.
When that one zombie is peeing on Steph.
I don't understand the peeing old lady. I've never seen that in any other zombie media, but I thought it was funny.
So I've seen this numerous times at this point.
Oh, same.
But rewatching it for this time around, I was just like, still questioning the zombie logic, but I'm going to have to agree with myself in the first chance that I think they are equating zombies to being on your phone, being addicted to technology.
Yeah, I definitely agreed with what you said about that.
Because the what's his name? The evil headmaster guy.
Oh, Savage.
Yeah, how I should remember that. Savage does say that.
Yeah. And
And
then
his
like
song, yeah.
Human Voice is like the whole song about like needing c to connect to people, and I feel like you could really apply that to just everyday life and not in the context of a zombie apocalypse because everyone's on their phone so much nowadays. Like technology really has
Well,
taken over
so
the world.
there is something else that I also noticed in this watch, and you kind of see this in other zombie films. So it's when they have their first kill, like the reaction.
Oh yeah.
Because you watch these zombie movies, and in a lot of them, there is that disassociation of like, I just killed somebody, but they're not a person. They're a
Yeah.
walking flesh sack.
Right.
So this one I think did it very well, where like you get a range, you know, like Anna just did it out of like trying to stop the guy, not de decapitate him.
Right.
John throws up.
That would be me.
Steph, I mean, is in fight or flight mode, so I think she's just running on pure adrenaline.
Right, and she's like when they come into the bowling alley, she's like, "Have you guys been bit?" Like, she knows what she's doing somewhat.
Yeah. And like Nick is a little sociopath.
I loved all the Nixlander in the first episode you guys did, by the way.
He
Living for it.
is a dick.
He is. He's terrible, but he does have a great song.
He does. No, okay. So question for you now.
Yes.
Okay, so you like Riverdale. When are you like really into musicals? Like, have you watched a do you watch a lot of them? Do you go to shows and things like that?
Not as many as I would like to. I do have like my favorite musicals that I'll listen to all the time. So I have like a handful that I really like, but I'm not like as familiar as I am with like TV shows or like movie references. So I might need
Okay.
your help on that if you
Well,
have.
no, this is I was just trying to see where to set this up for you, because
Okay.
in the movie, when they're in the school and they split up, Nick starts singing Soldier of War again,
Yeah.
a reprise of it.
In
And
the science lab.
my thought was like, okay, so does this mean in this world, them breaking out into song is an everyday thing?
That
I
is a
it's
really good question.
it, I mean, honestly, 'cause like, no, I mean, think about it. Even after Hollywood ending, they do the group pose, the bell rings, and they're all like, cool. But I
Yeah.
mean, that happens in a lot of musicals
Right.
as well, where they're like, oh, we're now going back into reality. You know, we were in this little fantasy space where obviously they're singing, but now we're back into reality. But with Nick singing the reprise of Soldier of War, it's like that, what? 5 seconds of film destroyed me to be like, wait, what is the, are we in a world of musicals? Did I miss it? Did
Okay,
I?
so you know how in Riverdale, like they'll in random episodes, not just the musical episodes, they'll just like randomly burst into song and it's like songs that already exist. Maybe in the context of the movie, like the original songs from the movie aren't original songs, like they exist in the context of the movie.
Whoa, I'm liking this. Keep going.
Okay.
You think that this is a jukebox musical for this world?
Maybe. I mean, that's the only way I could explain it, but usually like I didn't even that's such a good question. I didn't even think of that. Usually I would just like put that in the back of my head, like I'm gonna suspend my disbelief.
Oh no, we're not here to just suspend disbelief. Come on. It's a podcast, for fuck's sake.
That's true. That's true. I come from the land of Riverdale podcasts, so I should know this.
It was just a thing that I was like, huh, that's weird that he's singing Soldier of War. Because I don't think I really picked up on that in any of my other watches.
Well, in
So,
the sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
no, you go. I think my brain just stopped right there.
Oh, sorry. In the book, I remember like there when that point where he starts singing that again, that they call it like his theme song. They're like he starts singing his theme song, and like Anna runs out of the room.
It's been, I didn't reread the book
I didn't
for
either, but
this.
that I do remember that part for some reason.
Okay.
But I did rewatch the movie and I listened to the first episode that you guys recorded and I rewatched Zombie Musical.
Oh, zombie musical.
I didn't love it.
I mean, I understood how that turned into this.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, did you agree with me in the first chance where it was like,
It was creepy, yeah. I think the first time I watched it, I was a lot younger, and I think the creepiness of the gym teacher just really ruined the whole thing for me. So I still wouldn't say I like the short, but at least this time I was able to point out some stuff that I liked about it, like stuff that inspired scenes from the movie.
yeah, because like that, I was reading up on it, and the director said hold on. The director, John McPhail, I believe, said that he pulled inspiration from a lot of different sources, citing a bunch of musicals and other zombie things. But when they did Turning My Life Around, which is their duet, if that one was felt very Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, I love the reviews for Anna and the Apocalypse because they describe it as like Shaun of the Dead meets like La La Land.
Yeah, well, because but that one in particular felt like Shaun of the Dead because of
Oh, in
the
Zombie Musical, you mean?
no, sorry, in Anna and the Apocalypse,
Oh, got you, yes.
because of like how in Shaun of the Dead we follow Shaun doing his morning routine before the outbreak and then during the outbreak, and it's the same, but he's got his blinders on and is not
Right.
paying attention. So I was like, Anna and John are doing the same thing. They are not paying attention at all until the snowman shows up. But
Right.
like that one, it was really fascinating watching it because like you're seeing all this carnage happen around them, and I mean, this is where I was like, I'm not suspending disbelief. How do they turn around and not see, half of a house on fire?
I got no answer for that one.
Or like the other schoolgirls come out and beat up a zombie while Anna is singing, and I'm like, how did you not hear that?
She had her headphones on. She was in the zone.
But yeah, also in the beginning when it said that it was a pandemic, I felt a little triggered. How did
Oh,
you
me
feel?
too. I watched this before the pandemic even happened, and rewatching it afterwards is like,
Yeah,
oh,
so
wow.
because that was episode 86, that was like really early on into the pandemic.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was, let me, oh, it was the first, it was Christmas 2021 that I did it.
Oh,
So we were still feeling it, and I was,
yeah.
and then now we're further advanced from, the lockdowns and everything, but I'm still a little feeling triggered. I'm still feeling it,
Oh, me
because
too, because people just don't take it seriously nowadays.
no, and like this is listening to the first chance, Andrew even said that Anne in the Apocalypse predicted COVID.
Probably.
And I'm gonna agree with him because like, we turned to social media, there were people obviously for and against the vaccines, and you're just sitting there, and like, especially when they do, oh, what is the hashtag?
Evac
Yeah, the evac selfie. I was like,
selfie.
this is,
Yeah.
people did this, like, this is the same as like the I voted sticker when it's election day, or like when people got their first vaccines, they would post, like, look, I got my.
Yeah.
So, it, I mean, they're not
That's
wrong, like in
so
the
true.
movie.
Yeah. I
It's.
really like that scene. It's like, because if a zombie apocalypse did happen, that would totally be a real hashtag. People would be that stupid.
But then I was just like, well, then how is there Wi-Fi or sorry, there's internet, but no like data or Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's a good question.
You
I
know what
don't
I'm.
know how the internet or any of that stuff work,
I
so.
really should we really should have gotten in touch with a zombie expert or some or doomsday expert to be like, okay, so what goes first in a zombie apocalypse?
Well, from the video essays I've seen, the
Oh shit.
consensus. I'm a big nerd.
Okay.
I think the consensus is that like a couple days into the apocalypse, like the power and the Wi-Fi would start to go out. But as far as like phone lines, I'm not sure. Maybe since they lived in a little town, maybe like one of their towers was destroyed in
Oh.
the military attack or something like that. I don't
Interesting. Interesting. This is we're learning a lot about
know.
you and the zombie apocalypse this episode.
Can you tell I'm obsessed?
I mean honestly, that was a burning question to be like, you've given me like little other options for future episodes, but this one? Okay. I
I'm
mean, I
having a
get
great
it.
time already.
I mean, I get it. This is this movie is a comedy
Oh,
because
yeah.
like I really love that like they're not using like bats or guns or anything. She has
Yeah.
a fucking lawn
Candy
ornament
cane.
candy cane. And like Nick goes through a litany of weapons, and during Soldier of War, there's that one friend of his that just has watermelons.
The one with like the video game handles, like the controllers?
Is that the one that looks like the Batarang or something? Or like,
He's like swinging them around.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one where it, not a Batarang, the like, you know, in like spy movies or in Batman, even there's that one gun that they use to like pull themselves from the ground all the way to the top floor of a building or something.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like that.
A little bit, yeah.
But now that you say it's a game controller, even better.
That
But like, watermelons. What
is
are
so funny
they
to me.
going to do with watermelon?
Well, the
How you...
same thing that they did in the bowling alley, you just like smash them together in one of their heads.
Yeah, but when he it was a little weird when go back and watch this if you need to understand where my brain went. During Soldier of War, when that guy used the watermelon, you see a shot of him like use it and it explodes everywhere. And I was just like, is this him orgasming?
Ooh.
He
Well,
has like a euphoric look on his face, like a, oh yeah. But I'm like, I know you're doing that because you just killed somebody, because y'all are little sociopaths. But
I mean,
is it supposed to mean you are exploding everywhere and having a euphoric sexual experience killing a zombie?
genuinely would not surprise me because that there is that line before Soldier at War where Steph is like, are they are excited?
Yeah. So I know I saw this in theaters when it first came out, and I didn't really expect who lasted besides Anna.
Oh
Like, I didn't
yeah.
expect who else was gonna last. And how do you feel about that?
Honestly, that was one of my what is the segment called? I'm so sorry.
Flats, one of your flats.
Yes, that was one of my flats that I wished more of the friends lived because it is a comedy. Like, I know it's a horror movie, but I think the ending is too sad. And it's also a Christmas movie, so it's not fun to watch on Christmas Eve, which I still do, but
Would you say that this is a December movie that people should add in their rotation, or like,
absolutely.
I mean, obviously this episode is dropping in March and we're recording it in advance, so we're
Oh,
watching it before December. No,
so will this come out in December?
this episode's coming out in March.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I'm like, I feel like this is a weird, like, Nightmare Before Christmas scenario.
Yeah, so the first time I watched it was like February, March, so I didn't watch it around Christmas time. But now what I do every year is I watch it at the beginning of the season, and then I watch it on Christmas Eve, and then I follow it up with like Rudolph or something happy.
The island of misfit toys is where the zombies are.
Hey, those like little penguins could live there.
Oh, they're zombies.
Yeah, they could live on the Misfit Toy Island. That's why they're
Oh.
misfits.
Oh my God.
Maybe they're friendly iZombie zombies.
Speaking kind of speaking of the penguins, the talent show pageant thing, I don't remember what they called it,
Oh,
but
yeah.
when hold on, let me find her name. I want to actually
Lisa.
Lisa, thank you. When Lisa sings "It's That Time of Year," I was like, how did the headmaster Savage not like screen whatever they're doing? Because he's literally says that they
Yeah.
were for 4 weeks that penguins were rehearsing and they fucked it up, or they were sticking around. But how did he not hear the song prior to that night?
Well,
Unless she changed the lyrics, but I doubt it.
my guess is that she performed or practiced another song in front of him and then did that one secretly, and it was a surprise for everyone when she performed it.
My chimney could use on blocking and she strokes the pole. Like, come
It's
on.
so funny. And the principal's like just dancing, and Chris's grandma's like just thumbs up. Good job.
She's like, "You're singing, yay!" And the headmaster who has the massive "I'm retired" pin is like, "Fuck it, I don't fucking care.
It's kind of a bop.
You want sexy boy Santa backup dancers? Go ahead."
I thought it was so funny that, forgive me, I'm blanking on the guest's name from last
Andrew.
episode. Andrew, his friend, was one of the Santas.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like this is one of those movies where like they hired a lot of actors in Scotland and for
Oh,
background
like,
and everything.
yeah.
'Cause there is a lot of people. I mean, they had to make a whole goddamn town.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if they're in one segment of it, that's what, like a couple of days of filming, so
Yeah, I would love to do that someday.
like those bowling bros, like they must have gotten 3 days of filming for
Oh,
everything.
and then they get to watch this movie every year and tell their friends and family, like, I was a bowling zombie. I
I
love that for them.
love it for everyone to be like, "Look, there I am,"
Yeah.
and point to the screen. What else did you, was there anything else you wanted to talk about? Was there something we left out in the first chance that you were like, "We should talk more about this"?
I had one like little fun fact and then sequel thoughts I wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 'cause we pitched the sequel in the first chance.
Yeah.
So what is your fun fact first?
So you guys were talking about like the winter break thing. For me, I live in the States. I'm from Massachusetts. I always had like maybe like a little bit more than a week of winter break, but it would always start like 2 or 3 days before Christmas.
Really?
Yeah.
So going to school on December 23rd.
Pretty much. That would usually be like the Christmas concert would be like the morning of the 23rd.
Christmas.
Well, I went to Catholic school, so
Were you saying it's that time of year?
oh, I wish.
You're like, if only this movie came out a few years earlier, or I was a few years younger, I would have fucking done it.
I would have pulled that power move, absolutely.
So in the first chance, we talked about the sequel because it's kind of an
Yes.
ambiguous ending.
It definitely is.
It's Anna, Nick, and Steph in a car driving, where in some twisted sense you hear ethereal voices, the background singing
Hollywood
"Hollywood
ending.
Ending," because it is a Hollywood ending for us,
Exactly.
the viewers, but for them it's like
It's open-ended.
it's open-ended. So what is your pitch?
Well, I just loved your idea so much because the fact that they could go to somewhere else in the world, like I was surprised that you guys didn't make the connection that that was Anna's whole goal. Like, how do we get this movie to be set in Australia?
Oh, you're right. But how do they get to Australia is the
Exactly.
question.
Maybe like boat. In The Walking Dead, there's a new series where Daryl like floats to France from the States.
Okay.
So
Yes.
like it's not impossible.
Why not?
Yeah.
Let the currents take you. Forget about food. Forget about weather. Sure, let's go.
I love your idea of like they could do like a concert, or like the cast could get together and like do a little concert to raise money for the sequel. That's so smart.
Yeah, I mean, I am smart sometimes. But like, I mean, I kind of like the idea of like it's an international cast, 'cause like
Yeah.
we've gotten what, Army of the Dead, right? Is that the
Yeah.
Netflix one?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that. Make it like a Dawn of the Dead-esque where you're putting random people together. Because
Yeah.
this one is one of the few zombie zombie films where like they know each other,
Right.
so they have the fight or flight response, but they are also trying to save each other because they
Yeah.
have that history already.
I know.
But like and on the flip side, in like the George Romero Living Dead franchise, if you
Oh,
will.
in Army of the Dead?
No. In like, is it George Romero? Who did Night of the Living Dead?
Oh, that's a good question. But I know what you mean now.
Yeah, so like in those of the Dead, whatever, like whatever. It is George A. Romero. Okay.
Oh, okay, you were right.
So in like the George Romero movies, and I'm gonna be so bold, I haven't watched all of them, but like he puts strangers together, and over the course of time, they bond and get to know each other, and then, of course, they almost all die.
Yeah.
So that I think that would be interesting, that like you get little groups together, or like, we have our trio here. You get like, a husband and wife, you get a backpacker, you get random
Yeah.
people together that like don't know each other, and so you're like, okay, how are we gonna save each other?
Right, exactly. But I love the idea that it would just focus on like Anna and Steph, and I guess Nick has to be in it. Or maybe not.
I
Well,
mean, if you do it on a boat,
it
now to
doesn't have to
piggyback off,
be a boat, but
well,
like.
here's where I was gonna go with it, to
Okay.
piggyback off of your boat idea. It'll be like Dawn of the Dead, where it's set in a mall. Well, in this case, a
Ooh.
boat. So it's like, okay, are you sure you're alone? What are some other rules? Because I know in like later of the Dead franchise, they start introducing wild things like how zombies can live underwater, walk
Ooh.
underwater and all that.
That's
So
fun.
yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Ooh, okay, hear me out on this. What if
Okay.
it's like a cruise ship situation and the captain is left alive, so he's like, we're gonna check out like Australia or wherever to see if it's still standing. And it's like a big ship, so you could have all these little groups on them that were like maybe going on vacation and that's where they've been hiding out.
I
But
like that.
yeah, I don't know how Anna's group would like meet them, but then like they could have their own little part of the ship where like they could come together and like discuss like I don't know the rest of the plot.
And then there's a tap number.
Yeah.
I mean, upon thinking about it, the fact that she wants to go to Australia, which is a big ass island in and of itself,
Right.
from the UK, which is an island as well. Like it's very interesting that it's set in the UK, because it is an island. It is kind of isolated. So like, how did it start? I mean, did it
Yeah.
is how did it happen there? I mean, we know like with COVID it was airborne and everything, but this one, it's by bite.
Right.
So how did it happen? I mean, is the UK the epicenter of all this?
Know. That's a good question. I feel like this is all like things that they could answer in the sequel.
I mean, Alan McDonald, Tommy Riley, and Ryan McHenry did not answer any of my questions from the first chance. So if they're listening,
Well, we gotta get in contact with them. We gotta like write them a letter and be like, we have ideas.
I was hoping Andrew would text them, but apparently he doesn't have their number.
Oh
So if anybody knows these three, or if they know the answers because they have the script, I'm looking at you, Ella Hunt or Malcolm Cumming.
no. Yes, please let us know.
Did you see, by the way, that it was announced that Ella Hunt is going to be in the SNL movie?
Is
Yeah, she's going to.
she?
So they're doing the SNL 75, and she's gonna play Gilda Radner,
Oh, that's so fun.
which I'm excited for her for
Yeah,
that.
I love her. She's have you seen Dickinson?
I haven't
It's so
it,
good.
you know, I tried I there's another musical type movie that I saw today that she was in called Cat in the Band.
Oh.
I think the premise is that she's in high school and she manages a band.
Oh, that's so fun.
I know Malcolm Cumming was like part of a boy band.
Yeah, I remember that. I used to follow his boy band in like 2019.
Yeah, but like they stopped, question mark.
I'm not sure. I haven't really kept up with them.
Yeah, and Sarah Swire, who played Steph, I see that she's still working, so good, and things here and
Yeah, good
there.
for her.
Yeah,
I
I mean
haven't seen the actors that play Lisa or Chris in anything now.
I did end up watching the Young Ladies movie that I mentioned in the first chance, or Our Ladies that I mentioned in the first
Oh.
chance, and it was a good movie. I still wish it was the musical, but
But it's worth checking out.
it's worth checking out, yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
I kind of feel bad for Steph as a character.
Oh yeah, definitely.
'Cause like, who does that to a child, to your child, no
Yeah.
matter how old they are? Like, she's in a foreign country by herself
For Christmas.
for Christmas. Now, regardless of the religious connotations or anything of what Christmas is, she's gonna be off from school for 2 weeks or however much
Yeah.
time. So, like, what is she gonna do? Where is she living? What's going on with her? You know what? I want a prequel movie or like a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern movie of her
Oh
story.
my God, that'd be awesome. And
Steph
then
and the Apocalypse.
yeah, I would maybe like a series even of like a sitcom of like their lives before the apocalypse. That's
Yeah.
how we get that cast together again.
Yeah, or it's a whole new property and we're doing it like Lost,
Oh my
where
God,
every
that's so smart.
episode is like how they got to
Oh,
be.
yeah.
We're doing it. We're figuring it out.
And then, like you said, Steph in the Apocalypse, every episode can be named after a character.
John the Apocalypse, Nick the Apocalypse.
Exactly. Lisa in the
I
Apocalypse, Savage in the Apocalypse.
Although I do have to say, I did like that they, for this movie, with the rules of zombies, they kept it pretty, you know, simple. You get bit, you turn into a zombie. It's not like, because isn't like Walking Dead, like they have the virus in them, so once
Yes.
they die, no matter
You
how they die,
turn either way.
you turn into a zombie. So, like in this movie, Chris's grandmother dies of natural causes. But I forgot rewatching it, you know, I was like, is she gonna turn? Is she gonna? No, she's not gonna turn. Okay. And I feel like in some zombie lore as well, isn't there like a scratch? If they scratch you, they can turn you.
Yeah, I think in some movies, but I don't think they do that in Walking Dead just because the characters get into so many scuffles that like everybody would be infected.
I mean, they are infected. That's the
That's
point.
true. That's true. But
Or they would turn faster, is what you're saying.
Yes. But in terms of Anna, like, you have to remember, like, this is only 2 days into the apocalypse that we've seen. Like, maybe in like a week, the infection will be so big that like it will have settled into everyone and they will all be infected. So no matter what happens when they die, they will turn.
I like this type of zombie. Because, like, with the Dawn of the Dead remake, they introduced the running zombie, which,
Yeah.
whoa. But this is like the. They move, but they're not like super slow and super stereotypical of, or well, stereotypical these days.
Yeah, like you do have time to perform a whole musical number in between saying you're gonna kill a zombie and actually killing it.
Like, to go back to turning my life around, there's a moment where some in the background, somebody, a zombie is wearing like a hard hat and somebody hits it in the head. And I'm like, run, just run.
Yeah.
You can run. They're not gonna get you. And then he gets eaten.
Ugh.
I did laugh when the baby got eaten.
I forgot about that.
I'm like, this is a. I mean, this movie is all the tropes, but done in an original way, I have to say.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
you've got not only like the zombie tropes, but the musical tropes and a teen movie, kind
Yeah.
of.
It's like dramatic. Like you've got like, what did you say in the last episode? Unrequited love, like
Yeah. But like also, you know, it's the opening conversation that is happening is where are you going to college?
Oh,
That is
yeah.
such like a teen
Right.
thing. And then there's other things happening throughout. Like, I mean, even in the throes of the apocalypse, you know, Anna friend zones John, which I'm so sorry, John.
I don't know if I should talk about that scene now or during the flop segment.
Sharps and flats?
Flat, sharps and flats.
Oh no. I mean, you expand upon it now and then you can bring it up later. How's that?
Okay, so the first time I watched it, before Hollywood ending at least, I thought John was gay. And I thought it would be
Yes!
more fun if he was just gay, then everyone could just be friends and it wouldn't, like, you wouldn't have to have that added, like, romance plot going on, like, or Anna should have been gay, I don't know.
Well, so it was that Anna and, because, I mean, they don't really put that much emphasis on this storyline because they're like zombies, musical, figure it out.
Right.
But it's that Anna and Nick hooked up or were dating.
I think they had like a fling.
They
I
had a
kind
fling. She wanted more and he didn't. I'm believing that's what's happening.
think so, but they also like, or he also acted like he was gonna stay with her and they discussed like their future together and then he broke up with her.
Oh, okay. 'Cause like they don't put emphasis on it, so I don't really care about it. But now that I'm thinking
Yeah.
about it, I do care about it. And then after the recording, I will not care about it. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into sharp and flat?
I don't think so. Oh, are we discussing the deleted songs?
I know, I mean, I mentioned in the first chance one of them,
Have you, which side are you on?
I believe that is that the duet with Savage and the dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did mention that.
Yeah.
I read about What a Time to Be Alive as like a big opening number that they cut.
Oh, so there's also another one that is like an actual deleted scene. You can look it up on YouTube. It's called Some Things Will Never Change. And Anna and her dad sing that one.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
Do you know when it's supposed to be?
I think it's like right. Yeah, because it actually shows a clip from the movie before he goes into the song.
What is it? No,
The song?
but
Oh,
like
it's
I'm asking, when is it supposed to happen in the movie?
Oh, it's like at the beginning when they first get to school and Nick goes up to Anna and is like trying to be like, if do you
Oh,
want to get
and
together this vacation? And he's like, go away. And then she walks away from her dad and he starts singing.
interesting.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
Do you think though, like, there should have been more songs, there should be less songs?
I feel like for the length that the movie is, it has enough, but again, like if you have a sequel, you can do 12 more songs.
Yeah, I was watching it. I'm like, I don't know where I would put another song.
Yeah.
And like, I think I'm happy that they cut, the principal, the headmaster, and the dad, and then the one you just mentioned about dad and Anna.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of happy that it just starts. Because
Mm-hmm.
as much, I mean, obviously, musical podcast, I love musicals, but you have to know how to edit it. I
Yeah.
feel like the fact that this is tonally everywhere, but in a good way, works to its advantage. Now, if they started with "What a Time to Be Alive,"
I don't think I'd like that.
and it was it, the idea is that it's all like world building, where you're going to see the characters that come back as zombies, according to IMDb trivia. So, grain of salt, everyone. But I don't know. I kind of like it that all of a sudden, the guy in the snowman costume has, I don't need his backstory. I feel like the bowling alley people, the one group that before the like massive outbreak, you see them as alive, and one of them's drunk and falls on his way out of the door and everything, as well as the cleaning woman. Like, that is the world building that I appreciated.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't need to see everybody get a backstory, like, Santa get bitten somehow.
I feel like it would be fun if they did it as like a deleted scene, but I definitely like the beginning the way it is.
I see that.
Or like a bonus feature, you know what I mean?
Or like a music video
Yeah.
type of thing. Because the What a Time to Be Alive, there is on the have you listened to the album?
Oh yeah, of course.
There's the two versions of it, where one of them sounds like it's Michael Bublé singing it, where I think that would be funny if that's what they do with all the tertiary characters, is make a music video. And then there's the other one, which is the, I want to call it the Whovillian version of it.
It is kind of Whoville-esque.
But like, I don't know. I think it's perfect the way the way that this movie is, it's great.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think we need to change it. And in that note, let's get to Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Yeah.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it, if it could change, it's flat. And because this is the second chance, we're going to see if John agrees with his former sharps and flats. So,
Do you?
Blanche. Well,
Yes.
okay, spoiler alert. Yes, but I have more. I got new ones. I figured
Okay.
some of the stuff out. But Blanche, the floor is yours. What do you want to start with?
Oh, okay. Do you want to do sharp first and then flat? I feel like I already did my flats.
You did all, remind me of your flats, because we talked, I made you talk about them.
So my flats were that I wish John was gay and I
Okay.
wish everyone lived. The ending is too sad.
Well, not Savage. We have
No, not
people.
Savage.
Okay. And maybe not the dad. I mean,
No, you don't like Tony? You're not rocking with Tony?
I like Tony. I just don't feel like the emphasis is on Tony.
That's fair.
It needs to be that, because the opening, it feels like Anna is still a child and needs to learn how to grow up in a way. In a way, I'm not saying that she's spoiled or anything. It's just like, I mean, power to you for figuring out you want a gap year, but you should have had the conversation. You shouldn't be going about it like secretly. You should have a conversation with your dad and everything. And so, like, I think without her dad, now she is forced to. Well, I mean, and especially in the world that now she's in with zombies and all that, like, she is forced to change and grow and everything.
But I just
So.
wish that they had an end of the movie on her dad dying, because it's like you just think about it for like a half hour after the movie's done. Like,
Yeah. Did you have any other flats, or were those it, really?
those are pretty much it.
Okay, what about your sharps?
So Turning My Life Around, obviously, is my favorite song in the movie, my favorite scene in the movie. And then Olive, the other reindeer, is my sharp. I think I love that joke so much.
I use it all the time. All the time. And, you know, people, because I like to tell dad jokes, and I tell people, I'm like, I can't take credit for this one. I got it from a movie. So.
But I have to ask, have you seen the cartoon about Olive the other reindeer?
It's an actual cartoon.
There's an actual cartoon, except Olive is a sweet little dog.
Ha! Ha!
And she's voiced by Drew Barrymore.
Ha!
I think
No.
it actually is a musical. If you ever want to cover it, I'm up.
Well, we will talk about it. Any other sharps?
No more sharps, but I have a question for you.
Okay.
Can you name all Santa's reindeer on the spot?
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, Rudolph.
I'm impressed. That was amazing.
I don't understand why that's the running thing. You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen. I don't want to sing it because that's copyright.
Well, anyone who knows the song should know all the reindeer.
Right. So I actually found a flat.
Okay, share.
So I noticed this in Soldier at War. There is an inconsistency with lip syncing.
Is
Because,
there?
like, there's a mo. So in Soldier of War, there's a moment towards the end where the friends are definitely joining in on the vocals, but they are not lip syncing in the movie.
Oh.
I don't mean any of the leads. I feel like background, the there's inconsistency. Same thing in a Hollywood Ending, where they're all doing the choreo, which is great and everything. Also, by the way, love the hair flipping.
It's very Riverdale-esque, right?
Very Riverdale-esque. But I was just like, you're not everyone is moving their mouths.
I noticed that too, because I rewinded Hollywood Ending this time because I wanted to watch it again. And I was like, something's not right.
Something's not right. But I do have new sharps. I agree with you with I now have specific sharps, let's put it that way.
What are they?
I agree with you with turning my life around.
Of course.
I also wrote down Nick's friend with the watermelons because it was so funny. And there are moments within the songs that, like, some sort of action happens that matches up with the lyrics. A good example is it at the during Will I Will Believe, where we're focusing now on John as a zombie in the shop, and there's a lyric that has something to do with lights, and his sweater, like, he hits a sweater and it lights up. So it's little details like that that I really appreciated, because I was like, I don't think I picked up on it. I know I didn't pick up on it, but I watching it this time around, you know, with my, you know, my glasses on and
Of
everything,
course.
and paying close attention to all of the movie. I'm not making a face at Blanche right now saying otherwise, but yes, I paid attention to the whole movie. They did things like that, and I think it was just like a nice cherry on top of, like, the humor of this movie.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's always one of the scenes that like makes you laugh a little bit before you turn it off. So it's like it is still a comedy. Like that doesn't change.
Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist?
Yes, I actually do have Turning My Life Around and Hollywood Ending on my me playlist.
I listen to this whole thing.
Oh, me too.
I mean, Not even Christmas time. I listen to it whenever.
I've been listening to it all weekend.
In preparation for this.
Yes.
And on that note, Blanche, we're done with
Yes.
the episode.
Oh no.
I know. We did the second chance of Anne and the Apocalypse,
We
though.
did.
Yay! What do you have to plug or promote?
You can follow me on Instagram. I'm at Blanket Juice, but I am kind of taking a little break right now. I mean, who knows how long it'll last, but that's where I am. And if you want to see what I am watching, you can follow me at Serpent Lady on Letterboxd or Serialized.
And then what about the aficionados?
Oh yeah, and if you want to check out me talking about Riverdale with my friend Robin, you can check out The Aficionados wherever you listen to podcasts. And we have an episode for every episode of Riverdale, so yeah.
So is it only Riverdale you talk about, or is it?
So Robin, it is Robin's
It's Robin's
podcast.
baby? Okay.
Yes, it really is. So she talks about I've been on one of her Lost episodes. They do Stranger Things, they do Star Trek, and then they have a Patreon-only podcast, and I've done an episode of that, and we talked about Harry Potter.
So is the aficionados like a blanket podcast for these
Yeah, pretty much.
smaller
But
projects?
if you look up like Aficionados Riverdale, like the Riverdale one will come up. Like it's just all on separate feeds that they come out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand that the last time, but I was like, I don't know if
Oh,
I don't have the brain power to ask this
no worries.
question.
No, that's so valid. The first time I listened to them, I thought they were just a Riverdale podcast too, so it's all good.
And if you, I don't know, if you have answers to questions we had this episode, or if you want to give your pitch for what a sequel or spin-off or something should be,
Yeah.
I'd love to hear about it. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersongpod. Did you like a whole second chance month? I mean, I don't have plans in the current future to do this again. Do you want another month of it? 'Cause I mean, yay, more content or whatever. Let me know.
And if you want to be part of next episode's conversation, we're going to be talking about the Danny Kaye classic, The Court Jester, just in time for April Fool's Day.
Blanche, thank you so much for, I mean, technically this is your second appearance, but this is your first one on like a solo episode. So
It is, yeah.
welcome to the family.
Thank you so much for having me and being so welcoming and open to me suggesting all of the things that live in my brain rent-free.
Oh, you've come to a safe space for that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Yes, and remember to live for today because you might be dead come tomorrow.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.